at it in a lot of other stuff that a lot of times it may get overlooked. So I'm excited to be able to share with you today from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. We're launching a 2019 version of parable study this year from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says this: "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." So here's my question for you. How motivated are you on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 is like super, super motivated to hear today's message. As you came in here today, how motivated are you to hear today's message? How motivated are you to hear any message? As the Word of God is preached, as the Bible is open, as you read it, as you study it. How open? What's the heart willingness? Well, today we're hearing a parable that's about hearing. And it's really about the way that you hear. The heart responsiveness, motivation, attentiveness, submissiveness to the message of the Word. Here's the fact we're going to see today, and we're going to reinforce this over and over. Your readiness to hear God's Word will shape the fruitfulness of the message in your life. Your readiness to hear God's Word will not only shape the fruitfulness of the message in your life, it'll shape the fruitfulness of the message through your life. Everything hangs on how you hear. Look with me at Luke chapter 8, verse 18 there. Just take note of this one phrase, Jesus exhorting disciples, "Take care then how you hear." How you hear is so vitally important. And these words follow and apply the short parable or parabolic saying there in verse 16. And they're really in this whole context that's stressing the importance of hearing the Word. We're going to see this more today. The previous parable, the parable of the soils. And if you haven't had a review of that lately, you might want to go back to last year's parable series. I preached two parables on the parable of the soils. So you can just follow in the Trinity website, go back to that date, and you can pull up Parable of the Soils and get it there. But the focus is hearing the Word. That is the bottom line call and response. The difference in these different fruitful levels is hearing the Word. And true hearing, of course, is that which results in fruitfulness. And also, this idea of hearing the Word is reinforced. I'm 100% sure this is the focus, because it's the focus before and it's the focus after. There's a short incident recorded we're going to look at in a little bit following, and the bottom line of that is hearing, verse 21. So when we listen to a sermon, when we hear a message, when the preacher preaches, we have a tendency, and I do this as well, to say, "Hey, how's he doing? Is it clear? Is it creative? Is it compelling? Does it grab my attention?" Right? We're ranking the preacher. I want to ask us to do something else that's vitally more important, and certainly something you all have the control over every single time you hear. I want us to ask ourselves, how am I doing at hearing? Am I attentive? Am I wanting the Word of God? Am I testing and discerning what is in fact the Word of God? Am I really motivated on the edge of my chair to really hear? And if we do, we're going to benefit. If we're sort of like, "Yeah, whatever, prove it to me. I don't know. I don't care." You'll never benefit. The key, Jesus said, is to take care how you hear. We're playing on parables. What we mean by that is we're in this series, but also parables are always a play of some kind, of words and ideas and images. And today we're beginning with this short parable or parabolic saying in the Gospel of Luke, the lamp shining. And here Jesus is speaking of the importance of how we listen to the word of God. And of course, as he came declaring the gospel of the kingdom, it was about how people responded to that message of the word. And of course, we have the message of the gospel, which is the word, but the totality of God's revelation is the word. And it's so important how we hear that we are attentive. Let's look at the parable itself there in Luke 8, verse 16. Let's consider the image. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under the bed. So we have to picture the first century. How do they get light to a room? They flip a switch? No, they got light to a room by a lamp, a little clay lamp that had some oil there and a wick coming out, and the wick was lit, and you didn't have electricity and flip of the switch. So when it was night, it was total darkness. The only way you had light in that room was that little lamp. And of course, this is a ludicrous concept as Jesus is kind of giving that first part of the sentence. Nobody would say, hey, I'm going to light the lamp. Now I'm going to put it out. Because of course, if you stuck it under a jar, a vessel of some kind, basic science tells the oxygen's going to run out in a couple seconds, and there goes the light, right? And we might think from a 21st century perspective, hey, the bed's not a bad idea. I mean, you stick it under the bed. If you keep the bed on fire, you can see some dust bunnies under there and clean out under the bed. Actually, though, in the first century, the beds were not off the floor. They were a pallet or a bedroll on the floor. So equally as well, that would put out the light too. So it's a ludicrous idea to light the light and then put out the light. The very purpose of the light that you lit is to give light. So everybody, Jesus is saying in this image, everybody, of course, would light the light and put it on a stand, put it on some kind of a ledge or something, so it would light up the room, and those that enter the room would benefit from the light. You may be saying to me, well, what does this have to do with me hearing? It has everything to do with you hearing. If you, in fact, can hear, and you say, hey, I know Jesus came, died for my sins, rose again, and I believe in him, guess what? That's light. If you're like, ah, I don't care, I don't give a rip about that, whatever, well, then obviously you got no light. And once you have that light, the light of knowing Jesus as your Savior, then every time you hear the word of the Lord, the response to the word is either going to be like letting the light shine a little more, or it's going to be like putting the light out. This is Jesus speaking to disciples. And so how you hear is either letting the light shine a little more or putting the light out. That's the point. The light shining, right hearing of the word brings fruitfulness. We're going to talk about this today. There's a regenerating of the word. No one is saved apart from the word. When you rightly hear the word, you are born again. Regeneration. Now these then continue. When you rightly hear the word and continue to rightly hear the word, Jesus is saying, you spread the message. You spread the light. You don't say, oh, I believe in Jesus. Now let me put it out so no one benefits. You spread it. You have a desire to spread it. And how do you spread it? You spread it by continuing to hear the word. And this is a revealing kind of influence. We're going to talk more about that. Of course, the word is not like, hey, let's be comfortable with sin here. Let's be comfortable with things that don't please God here. No, we long for the things that are consistent with the things of God. And as God reveals, we want to embrace what he is revealing. The light shining also brings obedience, growing obedience. And a right response to the word is key. So how do I grow in my Christian faith? Techniques, da-da-da, doing this, doing that, lots of willpower. Well, one central thing must be that I hear the word. I am attentive to the word of God. I open my heart to the word. When I gather with God's people and the message is declared, I'm like, hey, give me the word. When I open the Bible and read it, I'm like, God, teach me, grow me through your word. When I gather and study, I'm not like, let me tell you my opinion. No, I submit to the word. It all hangs on the response of rightly hearing the word. We're going to look at these four aspects, these four results of right hearing today. And first, let's consider regenerating. Hearing the word brings new life. So Jesus spoke this parable to explain the parable of the soils, sometimes called the parable of the sower, but somewhat of a misnomer because the different responses are based on the soil, not the sower. The sower sows the word all the time. The soil is what's different, and the soil represent different heart conditions of response to the word. These were disciples who had received the word. They are believers who have come to life by hearing the word. And this is the way it is for every person who truly is born again. You're not born again by your will. You're born again by the word. God working through the word as you respond in faith. And in some ways, the very act of believing is a sign that you have light. It's a mercy of God that you're like, oh, I get it. How did you get it? Jesus says, well, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God gives you that revelation, and that's light, and now you are like a lamp shining. Believing faith then makes you like you're a little lamp. And your calling now is to let that lamp shine. Jesus explains the parable of the soils in those previous verses. You can look there, but verse 15 is sort of the culmination. I just want us to see that hearing the word is specifically the heart response that brings regeneration. It's the right kind of hearing the word, not a hearing that is shallow and superficial, not a hearing that is all emotionally revved up and not based in substance, not a hearing that's like, mixed with worldliness, so I'll take Jesus if he makes my life the way I want it. No, it's a genuine hearing of the word that results in regeneration. As for what is the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So then what? Now you're a believer. Jesus is speaking to a group of believers. And of course, he's challenging related to how you hear. And I am passing that challenge on to you as well. Right hearing brings the fruitfulness of spreading the word. This is huge. There are many who say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm glad to be in. Jesus is taking me to heaven. And frankly, I couldn't care less about those other folks. I don't really have a desire to help bring supplies to VBS, certainly not serve at VBS, go in the DR, whatever, let those people down there take care of themselves. I don't really want to help out with that. Inviting folks on Sunday, come on, it would mess up my week to actually have to plan a little bit, invite somebody and meet them here, whatever. You know, this whole thing of evangelism, man, I really wish that wasn't included in the Christian life. I mean, far more convenient for me if that really wasn't a part of the deal. And I'm saying, you know what, if that's how you feel, if that's how you think, you're not hearing the word. You just put that light out. Whatever light you claim to have, you just snuffed it out. And how do you rev that up? You're like, oh, Lord, I know that thinking is totally ridiculous, but I'm sort of falling into that sometimes in my heart. How do you rev up that passion for evangelism, that heart, that burden? And I'm looking at this passage and saying, it is by how you hear. Setting the Bible aside and saying, hey, let's do rah-rah evangelism is not going to accomplish effective evangelism. It is rightfully hearing the word of God that fuels this spreading of the light. The image, as we look at it here, means that others will see. Did you notice that? So when you hear and hear rightly, it results not only just that you see, that there's a light that enables others to have the opportunity to see. You're involved in spreading the light. You're not snuffing it out and putting it under something. You're saying, hey, put it up here. And day by day, as we hear the word, week by week, as we take in the word, we're spreading the light. And notice, this is connected to hearing. Let's look at chapter 8, verse 16, the result as Jesus talks about the right kind of hearing. He says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. I'm imagining a dad in a family of kids. And let's, to get back sort of the first century, let's say the lights go out, the power is out. Not even the street lights work. And it's a cloudy night and it's total darkness. And the kids are all afraid. I'm scared. And so the family huddles into that little room there, that one room. And dad's like, okay, I've got this. And he goes and he stumbles and he finds where he's keeping the flashlight. And he brings the flashlight back to that little family huddle. And the kids are like, I'm scared, I'm scared. And he turns on the light and they go, yay. And then dad takes out a blanket, sticks it over the flashlight. And the kid goes, oh, I'm scared again, right? What dad would do that? Of course, what Christian, let's think about this, what Christian would not want to spread the light? That's what Jesus is saying. He's challenging these disciples. And to rightly hear the word is to say, man, I want to spread this. Lord, help me to spread this. God, empower me as I spread this. And by hearing the word, we're spreading. We have that kind of fruitfulness that those who enter may see that your family, those around you, your heart for the world. Notice with me Luke 8, verse 18 then. In that context, take care then how you hear. It's how you hear the word. As you gather with God's people weekly, as you open the Bible yourself, it's how you hear God's word that's going to shape that kind of spreading fruitfulness that others will benefit and you will share. Whatever kind of fear you have, whatever kind of I can't do that, I would just encourage you to go back to the word. It is the power source for that spreading and that kind of fruitfulness. Let's look in at revealing. I must admit, verse 17 is the hardest for me to be certain of here in this context. But let's take a look at it. It speaks of that which is hidden being manifest. And I think it gets at the idea that believers let light in. This could be an internal focus. That's what it's like, hey, what's going on in here? So a lot of times we can pretend out there. We can put on like, hey, I've got it all together. I love Jesus and I'm growing and obedient and all this stuff, whatever. And like in here, it's like nothing like that. So that could be the focus of this, a challenge to the believer's authenticity, a challenge of a hypocrisy. Because one day we're going to stand before God and God knows the totality of everything and what's really going on will be revealed. I know that's a biblical truth, right? And that might be the focus here, but I lean more toward, even though that's true biblically, that this is an external focus, not an internal focus. It's upon a focus upon what God is doing. I believe that because of the context here, this idea of light, and nothing has kind of shifted our focus away from that here. It seems to be about the plan of God and revealing himself, and God is using believers in that. So at this junction of Jesus' ministry, of course, a lot of things people were clueless about. The disciples know some things. Jesus is saying, people are going to know more things. And how are they going to know more things? Because you're going to tell them those more things. I'm going to reveal those more things. Not that Jesus is going to reveal everything, but he's going to reveal everything we need to know. And he's going to use believers to share that with others as he reveals that through his word. So let's look at it. For, that's the key word why would believe it connects to this spreading outwardly, God using believers in his plan. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Now, I believe everything internally will be revealed at the judgment, but I believe most likely this is an external focus. Think of this. God is using you. God is using us. God wants to use you, and God wants to use us. Now, I say, okay, well, sometimes it doesn't seem like I'm being used. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we're being used. So what's the problem when we're not being used? What's the problem? Okay, let me shift that a second. When you have conflict in your marriage, what's the problem? For most of us, it's probably something about hearing. Somebody's not hearing. Anybody agree with me? Right? We're talking, but we're not hearing. Same kind of thing with ministry. When we're not fruitful, when it just doesn't seem like much is happening through us, my contention based on this text is it's almost always a hearing problem. Not hearing each other, hearing the word of God. So we're like, yeah, I believe that, but I'm not going to hear that. I don't care what's being said right now. I want to stick to my agendas. I'm not hungry and attentive to what God is saying. I don't long for it. Well, guess what? You won't be fruitful. Shift that around. I am hungry. I am attentive. I long for it. I'm on the edge of my seat. God, teach me, show me, guide me, direct me. Guess what? Fruitfulness. Things are being manifest not only to you, but through you. In this revealing work of God. And then there's obeying. So verses 19 to 21 reinforced this hearing by an incident with Jesus and his family. The conclusion of this, that Jesus' spiritual family is everyone who hears. Everyone who's been truly regenerated is in the spiritual family of Jesus. And those who have been spiritually regenerated are those who, by hearing and continuing to hear, are obeying in their lives and growing in fruitfulness. This is the Christian life. And we're maintained in that. We're spurred on in that by continuing to hear. So believers are acting based on hearing the word. So they are doing the word. This is not just idle, oh, I believe this stuff, I don't do it. James said, you know, faith without works is dead. This is a life that is sustained by the word so that it is bearing fruit and good works. Let's look at the incident, Luke 8, verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. This passage is one of those passages in the New Testament convincingly disproves the hypothesis of the perpetual virginity of Mary. Of course, Mary had multiple children, boys and girls. If you look at the context, some of them are named throughout the Bible. So Mary and Joseph continued to have children after Jesus. Jesus was, in a respect, their half-brother because Mary was his mother, but Joseph not his biological father. But he had brothers, he had sisters, he was the oldest of this family. Joseph died long before Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, even by this point, may have been dead because not referenced. And why did they show up here? If you look at Mark and Matthew, you can see basically they were doing a family intervention. That was their intent. They said Jesus was out of control. I mean, and Mary believed that Jesus was special, was the Messiah. I don't think she wavered from that belief. But they were all agreed, like, wait, Jesus, you are opposing the religious leaders. You got this huge crowd following you all the time. You probably rarely have time to even think about taking care of yourself. This is just nuts. We got to intervene and get Jesus out of this. That's really what the intent is. If you look at Matthew and Mark and understand this, they were doing a family intervention to try to get Jesus to realize he had to change. He had to slow it down and get out of this craziness. And maybe they had different motivations, but they all agreed Jesus, he's getting out of control. But they couldn't get to him. The crowds were so big, once again, they couldn't even get in to see Jesus. And the word got to Jesus. So they said, hey, Jesus, you know, way back there, whatever, your mother and your brothers are out there, and they want to see you. Now, what we would expect, sort of, is Jesus say, okay, tell them to come up to the front. But that's not what Jesus said. This is not disrespecting his mother or his brothers, but it is highlighting the spiritual truth, and the spiritual truth connects to hearing. This is what we want to see. Here's Jesus' response to this family intervention. My mother and my brothers, and in the Greek it's without the article, so it's stressing the family nature, not that they replace his mom and his brothers, are those who hear the word of God and do it. Hearing the word of God puts you in the family of Jesus, right hearing. And hearing the word of God and continuing to hear that puts you in that place of not just saying, oh yeah, I believe that stuff, but growing in obedience and action to do what God wants you to do, what Jesus calls you to do. This then is that fruitfulness of obedience. As we continue to hear and continue to hear and continue to hear, God is growing us, God is shaping us. And so why is it so important that we take care about how we hear? Hearing, everything hangs on it. Regeneration hangs on it. spreading the light hangs on it. God's working through us to bring blessing to others hangs on it. And clearly, our obedience, our growing in obedience to Jesus hangs on it. You can't set aside the word and grow in obedience. So you need it. I need it. To be always hearing the word and the right kind of attitude toward the word is that response of acceptance, willingness, submission, openness. So really, it's your move right now. The ball's in your court. And I just want to challenge us and kind of frame this around two key responses. First, of course, is receiving Jesus today if you haven't yet done so. The truth of the gospel is Jesus came so that all who truly hear his word can live. If you today, for the first time, are like, oh my goodness, I need to hear the word. That is a working of God. That's a little flicker of that light. You don't have what you think you have if you don't hear. So you may think, hey, I'm okay. My life's fine. It's going to be okay. I believe in God and all that stuff. I got religion, whatever. It's working for me, whatever I got. Well, you don't have that if you don't hear. And if you refuse to hear, as you look at this next verse we're going to see in a minute, even what you think you have, God's taking away. Even the opportunity to hear, you probably even don't care about that the more you refuse to hear. Those opportunities are flying out the door as you harden your heart and refuse to listen. This is sobering. But this is a spiritual crossroads that hangs in the balance every time we hear. Take care how you hear. Take care then how you hear. In that group of disciples, no doubt, was Judas. He was saying the same things as everybody else, but the heart wasn't there, right? Just because you're here doesn't mean the heart reality of hearing has happened. Take care how you hear. The one who has not even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. And of course, then the responsibility of shining, spreading, and fruitfulness if you have received Jesus. This is where this passage lands. How excited am I about that? How effective am I in that? When was the last time I prayerfully invited someone to? If you can't think of anything, I'm saying you got a hearing problem. I really believe that. And that there's hope here, though. Take care how you hear. As we hear the word, rightly hear the word, rightly respond to the word that we're hearing, we're going to grow in that shining, grow in that spreading, grow in that fruitfulness. So here's the thing. Those who hear rightly will be given more. If you're tracking with me at all right now, some measure of that is that you've got light. You have received by the grace and mercy of God that you hear. But what Jesus is saying here, now again, every time the word is spoken, every time the word is read, every time the word is studied, you then have another time to respond. And to respond and say, nah, is to put the light out. To run to say, yes, is to be given more. More light, more fruitfulness, more ability to spread. You get it? So as you hear, even today hear, receive what you hear with hearing rightly, and you will receive more light. You will receive more responsibility. You will receive more fruit bearing. Isn't that exciting? Take care then how you hear. Look at what Jesus said in Luke verse 18. For to the one who has, more will be given. Do you want that more? You want that? Take care how you hear. I'm going to move super practical here, but I think necessarily so. So it's summer, and the mode that I think we default to in summer is hearing's not that important. And certainly hearing on Sunday is somewhat optional. And if we go that route, I pretty much guarantee the trajectory will not be a whole lot of fruitfulness, shining, more responsibility, more spreading the light. So I know it's going against the tide, but I'm saying here's some ways to improve your Sunday hearing, and by doing so, improve our Sunday hearing this summer. And the first is to plan to hear each week. Now, I know you have vacation planned. I even have some vacation planned. I'm not against vacation. But what I am against is a mindset that says, church is optional. Let's see if it works out. Because you know what's going to happen if we have that mindset? Most of us, most weeks, it won't work out. So unless it's more than a week or two of planned vacation, and then if you're going to be gone for longer than that, you probably need to find a church wherever you're vacationing so you can hear the word. I'm encouraging us, based on this, to be here and to plan to be here on Sundays this summer. Because hearing is that important. And I'm going to ask us to pray that we'd have heart to hear. You know, this is a work of God. The sovereignty of God is at work in our ability to hear. But there's a responsibility we have that we want to hear. Things that belong to God, that's God's business. But I'm praying, and I hope you're praying, Lord, help me to have a heart that wants to hear. And then prepare all during the week. How can you do that? By being in the Word. And if you got some extra time, that novel is fine, but maybe you should do some reading in the Word. You're taking some vacation. Yeah, whatever's enjoyable is fine, but take the Word into that preparation. And here's number four, pillow. This is far more important than most people give way to. I can pretty much guarantee the outcome of Sunday morning based on the trajectory of Saturday night. The later you are up, and the more worldly the pursuits when you are up, the less likely you will get up to hear the word, or if you do get there, you won't really care to hear it. So get to bed. Get to bed if you want to hear on Sunday morning. A good night's sleep will go a long way. And then peace. What do I mean by that? Now, we've got stuff we got to work through in our marriages and our families and stuff like that. My suggestion is don't make Sunday morning the time to work that stuff through, okay? Pray about the other times. Sunday morning, let's just lay low. Let's get to church and listen. Because Satan loves to use Sunday morning as a time to get you all revved up and you're not even willing to hear. Anybody think I'm right? And then pursue. When you're there, when you're in a message, and of course this applies to Bible reading, Bible study, whatever, but have that teachable, eager, attentive, submissive attitude. Pursue hearing the word. All this is because of God's move. Your move to receive new life in Jesus by a response of faith as you hear the word today. And your response of growing in fruitfulness and spreading and passion and power as you continue to hear the word, it's because Jesus gave himself for us. And of course, this is declared by Jesus in the coming of Jesus. And he went to the cross for us. He rose triumphant from death. And we're here now celebrating the Lord's Supper as we culminate this service. If you have light to see, because of Jesus and hearing the word, we invite you to join us. We invite you to celebrate that great gift and the life that we have in him, and asking him to empower us once again. It is by his coming and his taking our place on the cross that he paid it all for you to be in his family. What an amazing, amazing gift. You're at the level of Jesus' mom in the family of Jesus spiritually forever. And of course, then desiring and growing in being that shining light, because he, the light of the world, gave himself for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this chance to hear your word. And every time your word is declared, every time it's open, every time it's read, every time it's rightly studied, Lord, what an opportunity. And so we want to take care how we hear. We pray, God, that you would guide in that response today, each and every one that's here, that we would hear and give careful attention to how we hear. Thank you, God, for the fact that through the gospel, the light is being spread and being spread even through us as you have brought us to understand who Jesus is, and you're working by your word to grow us, shape us, direct us, empower us in fruitfulness. Lord Jesus, we pray for each believer's response. And we pray, Lord, for anyone here who has yet to believe. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. By his sacrifice, we are brought into your family. We praise you for that amazing gift. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to the Lord's table.